Whoa, you went no contact with your family? Like, you don't talk to them at all?
Nope,
because they're toxic as fuck. Are you also the villain for walking away from your toxic family in order to preserve your peace? Welcome to the Character Outs podcast, where I am on a mission to normalize going no contact with toxic family. Welcome, all you terrible people. Let's talk about it. Welcome back to the Character Outs podcast. My name is Terry, and this is season two. Hopefully, you guys are able to hear on Apple Podcasts, because I'm getting a lot of glitches on my end as I kind of keep up with the podcast and kind of check to see, make sure it's live. And sometimes I see season two, and sometimes I don't. All of my ratings and reviews are totally gone. I can't figure out, and of course, Apple has been super helpful. So as long as you guys are hearing the podcast, that's all that matters. But if you're having glitches with Apple Podcasts as well, if you could just let me know and I can send them another email and get another ticket going. So I hope everyone had a great week. It was a crazy week for us over here. And today is a nice, cozy, rainy day. So the Character Outs podcast is comprised of two episodes per week. One episode is me sharing my story, sharing my experience as I am navigating this no contact with toxic family journey. And then the second episode will be a guest who is either sharing their story with me, either a video or audio, or someone who has written in and has written down their story and wants me to read it, which is what I'm doing today. Another element that I want to add to the podcast, getting stories, international stories, stories around the world about toxic generational cycles and karma and all kinds of interesting stories. So I'm going to be blending that in as well weekly, or it will be a guest that can offer encouragement and insight on this no contact journey. So today I'm going to be reading a letter from Tia, and I'm just going to dive in. And again, for those of you who don't know, I don't read these before, so I'm kind of reading it with you and experiencing the story as I read it with you. So let's get started. I'm Tia, a happily married stay-at-home mom to three joyful children. My days are filled with potty training, dinosaurs, lots of play, and baby snuggles. Overly caffeinated, wondering why my back hurts, and striving to enjoy the little moments in each day. I'm recently estranged and ready to share my story with the world. My hope is that others listening can feel that they are not alone and that they'd be encouraged to use their voice to share their story as well. I've had many, quote, Me Too moments listening to other daughters share their experiences, and they've certainly given me the encouragement I needed to choose to prioritize myself and my family after years of prioritizing my mother. I grew up an only child to parents born in the 50s. I was a middle-class American girl in the early 90s who got good grades with a mom who stayed home and a father who worked long hours. My childhood was filled with lots of reading, coloring, crafts, and sports, and my mother was very involved in all of those aspects. She volunteered at my school, cooked great meals, and always made sure that my needs were met. She picked me up from school every day, did my hair every morning, read to me, and participated in my art classes with me. She was so involved in literally every aspect of my life, and I in hers. If my father and her were to get into an argument, even without knowing the topic at hand, I would take her side. In my eyes, she could do no wrong. Rather, everyone else did her wrong, and I'd always hear about it. When I was in eighth grade, my father passed away suddenly after a few months of having been diagnosed with cancer. This is where my relationship with my mother took a turn. Grief consumed us. High school was tough, and I felt so alone. I began to engage in cutting and self-harm and had many thoughts of suicidal ideation. My only solace was in music, reading, friends, and a coach who stepped in to fulfill a father figure role for me. I remember coming to school in tears after my mom would lecture me the whole way there, and he would just listen and offer advice as best he could. Having a trusted adult who would listen to my feelings without demanding my silence and compliance was a breath of fresh air. I became close friends with a girl on my sports team and would often spend many nights at her house. Her parents were madly in love with each other, and it was obvious. They had conflicts, of course, but I got to see the healthy conflict resolution that they had in front of their kids. I got to see how they talked to their teenage daughter and son, and my heart yearned for that. These kids were allowed to share their feelings. Their voices were heard and acknowledged, not silenced and shut down. Any feelings of hurt, guilt, shame, or anger that I had, I was never able to bring up to my mom. I'd come to understand that I wasn't allowed to express my negative feelings. I was to keep the peace, to be keenly aware of what my mom was feeling, and respond accordingly. Despite this, I would have called her my best friend, clearly because we shared everything and liked all of the same things. We were surely the best mother-daughter duo. We'd often watch the TV show The Gilmore Girls, and both felt like we resembled Lorelai and Rory. My mom started to date when I was a senior in high school. English was a second language for her, and technology was not her strong suit. So I was the one who helped create an online profile by setting up her bio and responding to messages. I'd even go on dates with her and sit a few tables away in the name of safety. It was as if we were finding someone to date, someone to fill the void of my father. I was her therapist through and through. I'd hear every detail, the highs and the lows. When graduation rolled around and I decided I wanted to move away for college and move to the West Coast to the Midwest, the first few months were hard. I had never been outside of my home state. I knew absolutely nobody and had no freaking clue about how to put myself out there and make friends. I vacillated between wanting to move back home because the feelings of missing my mom were so intense, but I also knew, albeit subconsciously, that I needed to be away. At that time, I didn't have the knowledge or understanding to know why, but I know now it's because of my enmeshment. My mother would text me, "Good morning," every day, and I'd always respond right away. I never let her wait for fear of upsetting her or making her worry. We'd talk on the phone every day and video chat daily as well. I missed her, and I wanted to include her in what I was doing, but I so desperately wanted separation, to come into myself. I was 18 years old and just wanted to be seen for who I really was, not for what my mother wanted me to look like or be. For example, as a kid, I'd say that I wanted to be a doctor when I grew up. This was certainly encouraged by my mother, but I was also incredibly fascinated by the human body. Unfortunately, I failed chemistry twice, and during the first advanced biology class, I broke down crying to the professor, sharing that I wanted to change majors, but was absolutely terrified of telling my mother. Once I did share the news, it was as if I was telling my mom I had committed an unforgivable sin. How in the world could I do that to her? How in the world could I make that decision without her? While this example may sound trivial, it was monumental in showing me, conditioning me, that I was supposed to do what my mother wanted, even if it meant going against myself. All throughout college, my mom would send me new clothes and care packages, and when I was home for break, that was when we did shop, specifically at Nordstrom. She'd spend hundreds of dollars on clothing and shoes. If I spent more than a second looking at a clothing item, she'd offer to get it for me. Early on, I loved this. I mean, what fashion-loving college student wouldn't? Having moved to the Midwest, I needed an entirely new wardrobe and enjoyed curating new outfits. We'd always share a dressing room and she never held back her opinions. From an early age, I became aware of my mother's attention to beauty and weight. I can remember as early as middle school being mindful of sucking my stomach in to appear thinner. Sharing a dressing room just added to my insecurity over time. If I didn't like something she picked out for me, she'd get weirdly upset about it. Years later, when she offered to buy my wedding dress, I remember being so excited. I picked a few to try on and finally put on the one that I really wanted. It was a strapless dress with a hint of pink. It was mainly of tulle and was perfect, simple dress that I wanted. I was so happy. Yet that night and the following morning, my mother kept bringing up how the dress I picked didn't look enough like a wedding dress, but rather looked like a prom dress, and that we should return it. But she had paid for it and brought this up more than once in a few short hours. We returned the dress. Looking back at that experience makes me so sad for my younger self. I started to vocalize my wants on a few other things about my wedding, but I missed out on the chance to walk down the aisle in the dress I had the moment in. Just a few months after our wedding, my mother was going through a breakup with her partner that she had been with since my junior year of college. This relationship started quick and she moved into his home. He was financially well off and would often encourage her shopping habits, although I don't think he realized just how serious they were early on. This relationship is where I got to see firsthand how she interacted with her partner and where I started to see a pattern of her toxicity. She could be so loving and caring, and suddenly the smallest things would upset her, and she would storm out of the house, leaving me and her partner at home for hours, not knowing where she was or when she would be coming back. When she would come home, she'd give him the silent treatment for days, often expressing to me that, quote, he knows what he did wrong, and I'd often be caught in the middle of it. Enough days would pass, and my mother would be back to normal, wanting to go out to eat at a new restaurant, shopping, etc. This happened over and over and over that when she called one day to tell me that she was leaving her partner, I wasn't too surprised. I had remained in the Midwest after college, and because it was so, quote, serious of a breakup for her, and she had no friends to turn to, I felt the need to offer to her to move in with my husband and I. We flew out there to help pack a gigantic U-Haul of all of her belongings and furniture and drove it back for her. Our home was small, but there was a spare bedroom. At first, it was fun and exciting because I truly thought she would embrace the change as an opportunity for her to start new. She worked as a hairstylist, and I had even found a local salon space where she could have her own suite. I had toured it beforehand to ensure a smoother transition for her. I was so sure that being in a new state and with me would be the perfect starting point for her. How wrong I was. She lived with us for 8 months, and it was the hardest 8 months of my marriage. I know the terms now, but at the time, I had no idea that she was love-bombing us and then discarding us almost weekly. She'd stay out late to avoid seeing us before bed and stay in her room in the mornings. A few days would go by of the silent treatment, and she'd then want to, quote, treat us to dinner, which was a clear indicator that things were to go back to normal. I'd often go to work in tears after having an argument with her, which usually she had chose to take out on my husband. She made it clear from the time I started dating that she didn't like him. I'd always just ask her to please stop criticizing, to respect my marriage and my choices, but she'd threaten to never give me advice again, to never visit, and even to remove myself as her emergency contact. A phrase she'd often use was, quote, I'm just so worried about you. The first few times this happened, I actually believed her. And so I'd be the one apologizing for upsetting her or apologizing on behalf of something she felt my husband did but never actually brought up with him to discuss. I felt like I was in the middle and my husband was starting to get upset. How could he not? His mother-in-law was living in his home, making it feel physically and emotionally uncomfortable and taking all her anger towards him through his wife. He felt like I was pushing him to the side and that my mother was trying to get in the middle of our relationship. If he decided to sit on the sofa after a long day of work, he was lazy. If he didn't have so much to say at dinner, it's because he's an idiot. If he lost his patience in traffic, it was because he's an arrogant jerk. Everything he did was wrong in her eyes, but she only shared it with me when she wanted to pick a fight. My husband and I agreed that I should seek therapy and get a professional perspective on my relationship with her. And I went twice, hoping my mother would join. When I asked her if she would please come with me, she laughed in my face, saying that I was the one who needed therapy, that she didn't have a problem with me. She did attend one session, and I still remember how cold she looked sitting in the waiting room. The therapy session didn't help my relationship with my mom, but it certainly brought up a lot for me. I was confronted with the inability to say no to my mom. I felt like she didn't see me for who I was, that I couldn't upset her, and I certainly couldn't disagree with her. I made excuses for her behavior, even after seeing how she treated her partner, and then was treating my husband and I still didn't put the pieces together. I wasn't willing to believe that my mother was toxic, and I wasn't willing to acknowledge that I was playing a role too. Once after an extremely emotional discussion between my husband and I, he brought up potentially going no contact with my mom. We didn't really know what that meant or how it would happen, but he saw how toxic my mother was, and I knew something needed to change. I remember feeling physically sick to my stomach, even thinking about the possibility of going no contact. How would I ever do that? How could I ever do that to her? What a terrible daughter I'd be if I did that, so I thought. We brought up the topic of getting her her own place a few months in. She had been working, even got a second job, although I suspect that was so she'd be out of the house more. We figured out what an appropriate timeline would look like, even helped with budgeting and her finances, and helped look for apartments for her. We did all we could do to make her feel welcomed in our home and supported in a potential transition to her own place. And then, quote, all of a sudden, she decided she was going to get back together with her partner. We, of course, helped her pack up all of her things, got the storage unit cleared out, and happily sent her off. It ended on a somewhat warm note because she was getting what she wanted, and of course her behavior was never brought up to discuss. She moved back to California and we carried on as if everything was okay. I fell back into my role of calling daily, but deep in the pit of my stomach, I knew our relationship was forever changed. I no longer wanted to visit for long periods of time. I started to share less and less of my interests. I was more aware of her moods and more confident in telling her I didn't want to hear about her relationship problems. My mother always encouraged me to be a hard worker and to chase after my dreams. She encouraged me to have friends and to do fun things, but was always so critical of the friends that I had and the things that I did choose to do. That's been a hard thing to work through. Having memories of her being supportive, telling me she was proud of me, but on the flip side, she'd criticize others constantly, their appearance, their struggles. Then she'd make passive comments about what I was doing. No one was good enough in her eyes. She'd often say how lucky I was to have her as a mother, that other girls didn't have a mom who was involved or as loving as she was. I remember her describing another family where the daughter and mother were estranged. She expressed how she couldn't believe how a daughter would do that to her mother. It was comments like that that at the time I didn't see as conditioning, but rather as a concerned mother. Over the years, I've had many interactions with her that turned into big arguments, especially once I had my children. I began to see the control, the manipulation, the entitlement, and lack of self-reflection, the stonewalling. But I thought if I worked on being more confrontational with her in little ways, that over time she would get better. Surely she'd come to understand that her behavior affected others and me as well. I was her therapist for every other relationship, so why wouldn't she take advice and reflect when I brought something to her attention? My point of no return happened last May after a visit to see her and her partner, whom I was close to. The two of them actually walked me down the aisle together. We all had a great visit, but it ended on a sour note. Went out to dinner as a family with my two toddlers, she baited my husband into an argument. He, having done so much work in dealing with my mother, calmly stated that he did not want to engage in conversation around said subject, but that he would be happy to talk about it later. This was not the answer that she wanted, and she let everyone know how uncomfortable the dinner was. The whole car ride back to their home consisted of me trying to rationally discuss the issue with her, but it kept coming back to how much of an a-hole my husband was, among other irrelevant statements. That evening, after putting my children down to bed, she said to me, "Don't hold grudges against Mommy." This was her essentially saying, "You're not allowed to be mad at me and my behavior because of the sheer fact that I'm your mother." After this visit, I called to discuss the whole blow up. Why bring it up again? We weren't there anymore, and she'd probably get over it in a few days. But I wouldn't. I didn't want to let the pattern continue to happen. I didn't want to just pretend everything was okay as I had done in the past. I wanted to have a healthy discussion and come to a resolution. On the phone, she was distant, complained about some family friends, and acted like nothing was wrong. When I brought up the visit that transpired at the end, she started to say everything was fine and she had a great trip. I pushed harder to discuss the issue, and here's where my flip switched. I tried to bring up her behavior at dinner, and she started to cry while saying, quote, "You've chosen your husband over me. When I lived with you, you kicked me out of your home when I had no money and nowhere to go." I can't even begin to express the amount of rage that flowed through my body at that moment. The curtains had finally opened and I saw everything for what it was. I was being emotionally manipulated and I had been for many, many years. I calmly stated that I was going to call less, to which she responded, "You don't have to call at all." That's the last time I heard her voice. The next morning, she sent a text saying, "Good morning, princess. Have a nice day." It took an outside perspective, my husband, to see the enmeshment and toxicity to bring to my attention for me to accept it. I'm so thankful he tolerated what he did over the years and how he has supported me along the way. My mother always tried to pin him as the terrible husband, but he's the one wiping my tears, reminding me of my worth, and walking me through the hard moments. How amazing is it to have a partner that can help point out our trauma responses that may not be the most healthy, but sit there and work through it with us without giving us the silent treatment because we should know what we did wrong. Now, almost a full year later, I've moved on from very low contact to no contact. During the first few months of this process, I tried to let my mother know how I felt through a detailed letter and a handful of emails, but each time I was met with responses like, quote, "You are angry and ungrateful. Your husband is making you do this. Why are you trying to hurt me?" To other responses like, "My life isn't the same without you. I'm sorry you feel that way. Can you let go of all of your bitterness towards me?" The anger that I had held back for so many years finally bubbled to the surface, and I truly believe that to have been the catalyst in my recovery journey. I've spent a good chunk of time dedicated to studying narcissistic abuse and all subjects related to that, and I'm now on the side of accepting who she is without trying to fix her. With this understanding comes the realization and acceptance that I am allowed to step away from a relationship that is toxic. I will always be her daughter, but I will not continue to endure her behavior toward me. Paper cut after paper cut after paper cut, a slow, painful death. My mother suffered abuse and childhood trauma of her own. Her life for a long time was filled with pain and unfortunate circumstances. I cannot change that part of her story, and I cannot make her see things about herself or her behavior that she does not want to see. Nor will I continue to make excuses for her behavior. Enough is enough. So I've tucked away the good memories of us, the ones of us laughing at something silly, of us cooking together, or being in her garden. And I've grieved over the memories I'll never make with her. During these past months, I've moved to a new state and had my third child, a baby girl. She was born just hours after my mother's birthday. My mother does not know where I live and has not met her third grandchild. The young woman I was when my mother lived with me couldn't even comprehend what my life would look like without her in it. And now that I'm here, it's much more peaceful. I feel lighter, happier. I'm no longer insecure about what I look like or the things that I do. I can make decisions without feeling intense anxiety over what my mother would think. I'm much more focused on my marriage, my children, and what I'm actually interested in. I'm much more aware of what it takes to build and maintain healthy relationships. My children will grow through their childhood having a mother who apologizes to them, who allows all feelings to be expressed, and engages in healthy conflict resolution. A part of me will always be sad that my mother was never able to break the cycle herself. But deep down, under all her own anger, shame, and shattered ego, I imagine her inner child would be proud of me too. To all the daughters on a journey of breaking free from enmeshment and toxic relationships with their mothers, I'm in it with you. Listen to as many stories you can to remind you that you are not alone, no matter how isolated your mother has made you feel, how scary she's made the world seem to be without her. You can make it through. Put your hand on your heart. Breathe in. You're going to be on the other side of this eventually. Thank you, Terry, for the community you've built. You're saying things on your platform that other daughters don't feel ready to say out loud, giving us permission. We'll come to find we can give ourselves in time. Oh, Tia, that was so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing and just being so raw with your stories. It was so beautifully written, and I resonated with it so much because I remember that fear of, I can't leave my mom, because we were best friends, just like you and your mom. My mom and I were best friends and we did everything together. And I am so proud of you. I am so proud of your strength. I'm so happy that you have your husband by your side. I'm so happy that you are on your healing journey, that you're on your road to recovery, that you make no apologies for where you stand and protecting your children and protecting your heart. I am so very grateful and thankful that you found this podcast, and I'm so honored that I was the one who could share your story. I'm speechless, and I just want to thank you so, so very much. And with that, I'll say cheers till next time, friends.